Thank you everybody for coming back to this afternoon session. So our first speaker is Roberto Pereira, who will talk about ping pong parties global gravity.
Hi, thanks for letting me talk here. I'll present a joint work with Jonathan Engel and Carlo Rovelli, and this is I'll give some details on the construction that Carlo gave earlier this week. So the plan is, I'll start by revising some things about the belt crane model and its relation to the Plebonsky SO4 theory. I'll then define a classical discretization of this Plebonsky theory and see its relation with Frege calculus. I'll then proceed to the quantization of this theory. And our main result will be a proposal for a vertex of spin-form models. So it's been known for some time that the belt crane model is a good candidate for quantum gravity, for a spin-form model of quantum gravity. It can be summarized in this picture. It's vertex, it's a 10J symbol. It depends on 10 SO4 simple representations. So it's SO4 because it's Euclidean quantum gravity. And the intertwiners are fixed. So in a subsequent paper, Baz and Barrett defined this model as the constraining and the quantization of a certain classical tetrahedron that they, in a sense, that they define. And the important thing for us here is that they define this model as a constraining of imposing the constraints in the sense of Dirac. So in the sense that the physical states are lying the kernel of these constraints. So, and then Rosenberger showed that these solutions are unique. And actually, this uniqueness, which is a beautiful result, causes us some problems. And the first reason is that we would like to have, on the boundary of a spin-form model, full degrees of freedom of fluid quantum gravity. And we don't have because the intertwiner is unique. The other problem will be addressed by Emanuele in the next talk. Is that the some components of the graviton propagator turn out to be wrong. So it's been known that one can see the belt crane model as a discretization of Plebonsky theory. So Plebonsky theory is a BF theory. So B is an element of the SO4 algebra with some constraints. So we call these constraints the simplicity constraints. And it's usual to divide them in three sets. So either the components are mu, alpha, beta. If they have two components, two repeating components, let's say 1, 2 and 1, 2, that's the first set. We call it the diagonal simplicity constraints. They can have only one index repeated, so it's the off-diagonal ones. And finally, if they are different, we call it the third set. So it's been known by its work of a bunch of people that these constraints have two sets of solutions, actually four, depending on the sign. And the second sector is exactly the one that gives gravity in Palatini formulation. So the idea is to discretize this theory and use the spirit of Frege calculus. And so define a four-dimensional triangulation of space-time. So we have four simplices, tetrahedra, and triangles. So I use here dual notations, so vertices for simplices and faces for triangles. And the idea of Frege calculus is that, so we have a piecewise flat manifold, and curvature is concentrated on V minus two simplices, in our case, it's triangles. So just to have an idea of it, so this is the case of two-dimensional. So triangles play the role of four simplices, and points play the role of faces. And curvature is given by the deviation of 2p of the angle when you go around this point. So the same picture in four dimensions. So I have a face, the link around the face of four simplices, and between two four simplices at the tetrahedron. So let me introduce you the variables that we use to discretize this theory. So for now, forget the Plebonsky theory is just Palatini formulation of general relativity. And so define a quotedral field, a quotedral for each tetrahedron. And also can define for the whole for simplex a unique cotangular system. And this defines me a V variable, a V variable in the SO4, an SO4 group variable, that gives me the transformation between these two tetrad systems. So I can also define for two different tetrahedra the transformation, the SO4 transformation between them, that's the U variable. I can also define the B as they should be to give general relativity and integrate them over a phase. And because everything is flat, unless you go around the whole link, I have this relation between the U variables and the V variables. So this is exemplified in this picture. So if I have, for instance, I want to go from the tetrahedron 1 to the tetrahedron 3, it's the same thing as going through the V variables. And finally, the curvature is given when you go around for, let's say, with the V variables, go from tetrahedron 1, you do the whole loop. So let me come back to Plamansky theory and consider the B variables as independent. So which are the constants that they satisfy in order to get back to general relativity? So the first one is just the discrete analog of Gauss constant in continuous theory. And then you have the analog of the discrete analog of the simplicity constraints. So the star here means a Hodge dual internal indices. So one can see that if you restrict yourself to a first simplex, one single first simplex, then flatness and these three sets of constraints imply the third set of constraints, so you don't have to care about that. And we can also see independently in this discrete set that we get the two sectors of solutions. So let me go to the boundary. So there I have a three-dimensional simplicial discretization to tetrahedron faces. So in the blue picture, I have nodes and links. And my boundary variables are, so the B variables on the faces on the boundary, and these U variables between two tetrahedron. So what I get at the end is the phase space, which is exactly the one of SO4 Young-Mills lattice gauge theory. So this will give us a lot of tools that have been developed to in order to quantize this theory. So let me define the dynamics. So you can see that this action gives dr in the continuum limit. And more than that, we can see that it's related exactly to the Regi action first order. So first order because I have a sign here. So basically, the area there is just the norm of the B variable, and the sinus of epsilon is just one of the components of the Lanami. So let me try to find this action on the boundary. So let me take back this picture. So if this face is on the bulk, the Lanami would be just the product of U1 and U2. So I'm going to split that. So in such that the action, if you take the action on the boundary on one part of the face and the other part of the face, when I sum them to first order, I get the book action again. So we can see that this is just expression. The difference is just that I replaced the Lanami there by just the one part of the Lanami. So let me summarize this construction. I have the book action, the boundary action. I have some constraints on the B variables that are independent here. And I have the boundary variables, which is, as I said, precisely the phase space of Young-Mills. So let me try to quantize this theory. How much time do I have? 10 minutes? Oh, thanks. So I think it's known that so the spin networks span the auxiliary Hilbert space of Young-Mills theory, so that's a natural place to start with. So there I've already imposed the closure constraint, which gives gauge invariance and some intertwiners in each node. And let me just remind you that SO4 representations are labeled by two half integers, so J plus and J minus for each link. So So what remains is to impose the simplistic constraints. So for the first ones, it's for the diagonal ones, it's, there's no problem. They're very simple. So they just impose the J plus is equal to J minus. For the half diagonal ones, it's a little more subtle. The reason is that if you calculate the Poisson brackets, you get an operator. So what Bayes and Barrett did is that they considered this extra operator as a new constraint. So they imposed each one of these simplest. So maybe a little bit of notation. C12 is just I'm choosing a pair of faces 1, 2, and 1, 3. So they're just different for diagonal simplicity constraints. So the commutator gives this chirality constraint. So what Bayes and Barrett do is that they impose them strongly, so it gives automatically the chirality constraint. So we have motivations to think that this is too strong. So the philosophy here is to impose them weakly in this sense. Right. So, and the motivation is Gupta-Bloyer. So there we have to impose Lorentz gauge, we impose only half of it. So just the positive part of it. So of course this is not, we make no claim of general procedure of imposing second class constraints. It's just a guiding for finding the good solution. So let me define this HE space. It's just a space of intertwiners between simple representations. And let me expand this state in the usual basis. So you can see that the states given symmetric ones, so given by the constant symmetric in the spins, solve the constraints weakly. So this is yet too weak. The question is, can we find a subspace of these symmetric states that gives us exact matching with boundary loop quantum gravity degrees of freedom? And this is yes. So I'll explain you in the next slide. So, a little bit of notation. An element of HE is an intertwiner, but it's also a tensor. I can use spinor notation for abstract indices. So, the projection is given simply by symmetrization. So there I have primed and unprimed indices that are separately symmetrized, but I do symmetrize everything. So what this is doing is that, so for each link, I have simple SFO representations. You can compose them in SU2 reducibles. And this symmetrization takes the highest SU2 reducible, so the 2J one. And as Carl explained in his talk, the zero, so the invariance subspace, is precisely the Barrett-Cray model. So I have exact matching of boundary states. So let me go first here. This so consider the embedding of this of an element of the projected space. I span them is in the usual basis. So we can see that these coefficients there are just evaluation of certain 15J SIMO, and we use that to define the dynamics. So one remark here is so consider the image by this embedding in the SO4. So one can see that you can actually define a geometrical, because this is all very natural from the group theoretic point of view, but, we would like to continue the systematic approach of imposing constraints geometrically and everything. So we can see that one can actually do that. The problem is that we are forced to choose, somehow anomalous quantization. We don't identify the B variables with the SO4 generators, but with the dual. And this gives us the flipped Poisson structure. So, the dynamics. We can consider only one first simplex. So this is just the amplitude of BF unconstrained. I'm just summing. So you can see this as a path integral where you're summing over book variables, and this gives a state on boundary variables. So the philosophy is we follow a little bit the general boundary formulation of Alcohol, and we try to define an amplitude for a given boundary state, a constrained one. And so if you do that, you can, it's actually some standard manipulation, you can expand this amplitude in a spin network basis and contract with a given element of this basis. So the amplitude of a given basis is an element on the basis. This is where we rotor, so just a 15 JSO4 with simple representations in each link and the image of the embedding on the wires. So one can actually glue this for simplex vertex together to get the amplitude for a given arbitrary triangulation. And what you get is this spinform model with suitable phase amplitudes. So the conclusion, I've given here a lattice covariant formulation of GR, Euclidean GR. So the constraining was possible. So first of all, the Fourier fields impose the constraints weakly, and by giving projection and subsequent embedding, we got a subspace which matches with boundary loop quantum gravity states. Then I want to mention that there are some similar approaches that have come out recently by Levini and Spezialy and Alexandrov. I want to remark also, point that there is something funny going on with the, when you try to analyze geometrically things. So we don't really know if this is a good model. So what will tell us is a further analysis of semi-classical behavior, propagator, a group theory approach, and so on. So, thanks.
The usual pattern converter says in the feature that it is an indirect and the orientation of the four input cartridges to the foreground of the fires that equals on the same property, and if not,
yes. Yes, they have the same property.
Yeah.
Yes, because we don't choose a basis anywhere. It's by construction, it's invariant under chain of pattern.
Okay, but the rotation axis will immediately exist in the variant. So, do you get
one of the views? The rotation variants end if they're simple in each basis. We're not asking them to be simple on each basis. That's why it's different.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you
That's the point. No, that's the point of weakening the constraints.
Yes.
More questions? Alexander, I think it's figured out.